Hello, and welcome to the ALEAF ISD podcast, Impact Ed. I'm Dr. Janine Porter, Chief of Staff, and I'm joined today by our Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Anthony Mays, and our Deputy Superintendent of Business Services, Mr. Charles Woods. Thank you both for having us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So let's get right into the interview. We all know that this is a voter election year, and ALEAF ISD is on the ballot for a voter-approved tax rate ratification election, or VATER. Charles, can you explain our audience what a VATER is and what the purpose of it is?
So the taxes that we assess as a school district are amongst other tax rates assessed by other governmental entities like cities, counties, MUD districts. And when a school district adopts a tax rate, it includes several components to make up that total tax rate. Part of it is the interest and sinking tax rate to pay for bond debt. The voters get to make that determination when they pass a bond referendum. That's giving the school district the authority to assess that portion of the tax rate. The maintenance and operations portion of the tax rate is set by previous year's tax rate plus any additional taxes that are asked for by the school district of the electorate, and any decreases or increases provided by the legislature through new statute changes. So we are attempting a voter approval tax rate election because the budget that was adopted by our board required a tax rate that was higher than the previous year's tax rate. So that is due to a couple of factors, and I can go into more detail of why that is, but ultimately, if the board has to adopt a tax rate that's higher than the previous year's, and that for sake of argument or time, the explanation is if it's greater than it was last year, as far as the M&O rate, then we have to ask the voters for approval to do that. So it's voter approval tax rate election. So the voter approval tax rate, if you exceed that, which is last year's rate, and we will exceed that, then you have to ask the voters on the ballot. And it has to be on the November ballot, the general election.
Okay, so I'm at home listening. I'm a voter. I'm going to want to know how much are my taxes going to increase? And what are those monies going to be used for?
So the average home value in ALEAF ISD is in the $230,000 range. But it's applicable, the tax rate is applicable to the taxable value. And so the taxable value is calculated by taking all the exemptions that all the taxpayers have coming to them due to being a homestead, and it's their main residence. They can file for a homestead exemption, which is in the last election cycle that was approved by the voters to go up to $100,000. So if it's a residence that's your primary residence and you file for a homestead exemption, then you take that $230,000 home value and drop $100,000 off the top of it. So when you take all the exemptions that are applicable in the school district across all the properties, the residences, then the average taxable value in ALEAF is $140,990. So the increase that we're asking for is 6.09 cents. Effectively, that's 6 cents applied towards the $140,990 value. It's per $100 of value. So what does that cost over the course of the year? It's just over $80. And for an average homeowner, a taxable value, it would be just over $7 a month is the increase. And what are we going to spend the money on? So the board adopted a budget this year, which is a surplus budget. What that means is you've heard the term deficit budgets, and a lot of school districts going through that. We adopted a deficit budget in 22-23 school year, a $19 million deficit budget. We adopted a balanced budget in the 23-24 school year, and we're adopting a surplus, but we've already adopted a surplus budget for 24-25. And the reason is because it included about $6 million for a one-time supplement for staff, because our board determined that giving a raise into a deficit budget situation was not an option, because it has an ongoing effect that we can't pay for unless we get more revenue. So they adopted a surplus budget because the intention is to assess an extra 6.09 pennies on the tax rate. That would generate $15 million for the district every year from this point forward. If the voters approve it, that $15 million first goes to fill staff salary gaps that we have with our neighboring districts in this part of Houston, where other districts have given been able to give raises using a deficit budget to do it, that stay, that are recurring, it's going to continue. We were not able to do that this year. So we adopted a budget with a one-time supplement for employees with the intention that we can give increases in salaries after the tax ratification election is passed. Should it not pass, then we would not be able to do that. Also, we have increases in fuel, increases in energy costs, electricity. We're coming off of a really good contract over a decade now of really good electricity rates, and so we're soaking up some of the Uri aftermath in the electricity market today. We're also paying about a 40% increase in diesel fuel from what we used to. And property insurance has gone up twice, and it's gone up 100% over the course of the last 5 years. And that's due to the hurricanes and all the weather incidents that we've had. So all that to say is, just to keep up with inflation, we need additional dollars in our budget. So we adopted this budget knowing that we would have a surplus of just over $9 million to apply to those inflationary pressures that we've not been able to do with a balanced budget to this point. So we were hoping that in the I'm going on and on.
No, go ahead.
We were hoping that we would see some relief in the 88th legislative session. It's been since 2019 that we got any increase in our basic allotment for the basic program. The foundation school program is what it's called. Each school district receives for a basic allotment $6,160 per child. And on top of that, there are weights applied to the population of different needs of different students, and therefore there are more funding for different students in the course of a K-12 education. Those may change over time for each individual student, but in any given year, they calculate what those weights are per district based on the student population at that district. They haven't made any increases in funding since 2019. And in this part of Houston, in this part of Texas, the inflation, the cumulative effect of inflation is just over 17%. That means that it takes an additional 17 cents to buy the same thing that we used to buy for a dollar in 2019. It takes $1.17 to buy that same thing today. But yet we've received no additional funding through the legislative session. So as the legislature punted and kicked those dollars back into the bank account and decided to wait, we can't wait. Life goes on. School districts are in operation. We've got students here. that are deserving of a program that recognizes the cost of education, the basic cost of education. So as we have not received any increase to the basic allotment, the other portion of the tax rate is called the enrichment tier. Those are the, you might have heard the term golden pennies, copper pennies. So ALEAF had an election in 2008, and we're up to 11 cents, just over 11 cents of all the additional enrichment tier pennies that are being assessed currently. That enrichment tier was designed, it's in statute, it was designed so that school districts could assess a additional property tax in their district with the vote of their board, which at the time are elected officials. They answer to the public who elected them. And so if they adopted those additional pennies, we took it to the voters in a tax ratification election, the voters passed it. So we've been assessing those pennies to this point for enrichment programs, for those things that make ALEAF different than our neighbors or other schools in the area, because our voters wanted those programs. A perfect example is this building we're sitting in right now, the Bill Marshall Career Center. The programs offered here are all enrichment. We bring students from all our schools over to this building for certain periods of the day to learn their trade or their craft or their certification. And then they go back to the main campus. And as a result, these programs are unique to ALEAF because our voters wanted that enrichment of the program. Well, now we're at a point because of inflation and no additional basic allotment, we have to use those enrichment dollars to fund the basic program, just to keep the lights on, to keep the buses running, and so forth. So with the only lever that we have available to us is to ask the voters for additional pennies up to 6.09 pennies are all that's left that we can ask for according to statute. So it's not the optimal time to do it, but it's we feel like that the ALEAF community deserves to be asked if they would support this to help ALEAF progress and keep these enrichment programs in place and not have to further cut into our programs.
Hey, thank you,
Charles. So I went on way too long, but I'm...
No, that's good information. So Dr. Good. Mace, along those lines, as Charles repeated several times, the allotment has not increased since 2019. Texas is 40th in per pupil student allotment. So with a district of 40,000 students, how would the VATER impact retention, our teachers?
Yeah, I think you go on to, Charles talked about it, you know, right now we adopted a surplus budget with the ideal that we would be able to provide a little relief to our teachers in additional pay. The 17% that we're talking about in regards to inflation that impacts ALEAF also impacts our teachers. So the same way our insurance bills have gone up, our gas bills have gone up, our utility bills have gone up, so have theirs. And so, you know, the VATER would allow us to be able to, you know, keep pace with inflation. In terms of compensation for those teachers, we also know that, you know, sometimes for our younger teachers, they're, you know, looking at that big number in terms of the overall salary. My plug, of course, would always be for everybody to always not just look at the big number, but also look at the insurance piece of your salary, because ALEAF does an excellent job of providing a significant amount of support to teachers for insurance. And so we want to be able to raise that overall annual salary number, but also continue to support our teachers with the insurance cost, keeping ALEAF as a number one place that teachers want to be as it relates to working. We know that, again, the higher the salaries, in many instances, you know, it helps with retention. I think ALEAF has a different, you know, a little special sauce. So I think that not just the compensation, not just the insurance, but just the overall sense of community is another piece that helps us with retention. But again, we also want to make sure that we compensate everybody here in A-Leaf fairly based on the demands due to inflation.
So at the end of the day, it's just one more way of trying to take care of our staff and our students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Charles, if the district passed a TRA back in 2008, and it seems that last year two more Region 4 districts did the same. So can you talk a bit about the financial impact for A-Leaf ISD homeowners if the TRA passes versus if it doesn't?
So the financial impact is, on an average home, is the assessment of 6.09 cents on the additional tax on the property, but that's an average number. So every individual property owner is different. If the individual who owns the homestead or the house is age 65 or older, then they can apply for the freeze. And under the freeze, the dollar amount that they pay for school taxes is frozen, so it wouldn't affect them because they're frozen at that dollar amount. It could go down from there if the state issues more compression on the tax rate, but it couldn't go over that dollar amount unless they made some kind of an improvement to their home. But the average business or taxpayer would be paying an additional 6.09 cents per $100 of valuation. So you take your taxable value, divide it by 100, multiply that times 6.09, and that's how many cents that you pay in additional tax for the year. So everyone's different. You can't say you will see $7 only. That's on an average. So it will fluctuate each property.
Thank you, Dr. Mace. As we get ready to wrap this up, can you speak to the importance of voting and how our listeners in the state of Texas can ensure that they're registered to vote?
Yeah, and so for us, we're doing everything that we can to make sure that everybody gets the opportunity to register to vote. We recognize within this area you have about close to 20% of the eligible voters aren't necessarily registered to vote. So, you know, we're working to do our part, whether it's through our parent centers, at every football game. You know, it goes back to why we work as educators. You know, the philosophy around creating an informed citizenry is the work that we do as educators. So we want our students to be an educated populace that can go out there and analyze and synthesize who they want to vote for. Hopefully a lot of our students watched the debate and got a chance to, you know, again, take in some of the ideas and the policies that were spoken on and determine, hey, which way do I want to go? But that's what our overall work is about as educators, is preparing that next generation of leaders to go out there and do the work. But a big part of that is voting. Another part of it is, which is another conversation, is you acting as a juror and doing your civic duty there. But we all have responsibilities as American citizens, and voting is one of them. And so we're doing everything that we can to make sure that people are registered to vote.
Hey, thank you both for taking the time to speak with me today. I think this gives our listeners the opportunity to learn more about public school finance, A-Leaf ISD, and the importance of voting. Thank you for tuning in to Impact Ed.
This has been an AMP production.